We're going to finish the scriptures we started last week. And it wasn't long this last week. I guess it was Monday, no later than Tuesday, talking to preachers, believe it or not, that I really thought we had some things settled in our spiritual lives. And everybody's aware of Charlie Kirk that got shot. Very, very awesome, holy man. And if you've never listened, you need to listen to that man and how God's led him. But there was a lot of preachers in my atmosphere that I think they're on the wrong side of this. They don't realize that the reason why the devil does these things is because God's the one that's in control, and God's already started a good work, and this is the devil trying to stop it. That's what's going on. We have to do good for evil to show up. And the more good that God lets us do, the more evil there's going to be. Folks say, well, we can't do that or they'll get mad. They're already mad. We need to be careful how we treat Russia and all them. They're already wanting to kill us. And because God has raised up the United States of America the last year or so, morally, hasn't it? Spiritually. And folks that's in charge allow the church to move forward. We're not going to be investigated. We're not going to be arrested. We've got freedom of religion. We've got freedom of speech. And because of all those things that's going right now, we got a devil that's trying to stop it. That's what's going on, isn't it? And it's so clear in the scriptures that we've been talking about the last couple weeks that it wouldn't be hard to understand this morning about a shepherd. We're going to talk about shepherds, hirelings, and a thief this morning. And think about this. Some of y'all are more liable to be robbed at your house than I am, because we don't have a whole lot to rob. If you want to go ahead and rob us, go ahead. We'll still have to pay for it because it's still open account. Huh? We don't own it anyway. But you have to have something worth something for somebody wanting to come in and take it. Right? The more that we have, the more that people see we have, the more they'll do anything they can to get it. Video cameras, security cameras. Oh, there's everything, isn't there? And technology is good on that point, isn't it? But this morning, as we begin, we need to really grab a hold that evil's always been here. God did not create evil, did he? He created one that became evil, and his name was Lucifer. And Lucifer has a lot of disciples, doesn't he? He has control over a whole lot of things. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we need to rise up. We need to thank God for answered prayers. We need to thank God for early detection of things, cancer and all things. But we also need to thank God that we have an understanding and an option, don't we? To go forward or sit around and moan. If you're one of those that wants to sit around and be fearful, it won't be long before you'll be useless to the Lord. And he won't be able to do a whole lot with you. And that's not good, is it? But I want to pray one more time, especially for the message, and ask if you would to bow your heads as we pray. Father, it's so good to be a child of God. It's so great to be know without a doubt that we're saved. It's so awesome to know that, Lord, this morning as we meet together, you're here with us and you're here for us. And Lord, I thank you so much for the brothers and sisters that we have here this morning. Lord, you never promised us that things would be any better than what they are. But we already know the end, and you win. We win. And Lord, when we leave this world, we're instantly with you. And you know everything about everything. And you choose your time. You choose your people. And Lord, when you allow the devil to strike, You already know the results and you already allowed it to be here. Help us, Lord, to trust in you more than we ever have to get through the next several years, especially lately, the next few weeks. We praise your holy name. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for calling us. And we pray this morning your will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, look at verse 10. We covered that last week, but I want to start with it this week. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. The only reason the thief comes, the evil comes, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they, us, might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Two extreme polar cases. The thief, the devil, and all his power comes for one reason. To steal, to take what God's already given us. To kill means to stop dead in our tracks and not move any closer to the Lord. And to destroy, to keep things dead and stop any chance for anybody to gain back what they've lost. Kill, steal, and destroy. There's a lot of folks that have things taken from them from the devil. First, it's on the inside, isn't it? And then it's on the outside. A lot of folks are dead in their tracks this morning. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They're so afraid and getting more fearful every day. There's a lot of folks that have gotten to the point to where there's no chance in their mind, in their heart, that they're ever, ever going to get any better because the thief comes. But Jesus came to give us life. And the life that he gives us, he wants us to have it more abundantly. What people don't, and I looked in a bunch of sermons and commentaries, and my first understanding of this, I've not seen anybody else, and it's not just I'm somebody, but I understand that when Jesus says the shepherd gives his life for the sheep, I understand the protection and the direction that means. But I understand it a little bit more because he came to give me his life. And his life is in me and his life is in you. As a shepherd, he's going to protect me and guide me and direct me on the outside. But as my Savior, he's given me him. And he is on the inside, isn't he? Both the thief and both Jesus came to give and came to get something out of it. It's not just good enough to be saved, but to have abundant life. And abundant life doesn't come in emotion. It doesn't come in praise. Abundant life doesn't come in a way that can be manufactured by men. Abundant life is abundant and great because it's after the thief comes and takes. And what an awesome thing it is to gain back something that was taken. Years ago, there was a yard sale down where we lived, across the alley. And there was a man in our church, an older man. And everybody said they were rich. They didn't look rich to me. But they were supposedly rich. And he always dressed up, the man did. And he passed away. He was about the same size as my daddy. My daddy was hard to fit because he was just about 6'1", and a big, big man, about 3-something, 340 sometimes, 300. He was hard to fit. This man had suits, and my daddy wore suits. So we got several boxes of suits, and Mama got the suits, and she's going to wash them, and she went through the pockets. I remember Daddy saying, that's the first time you went through somebody else's pockets beside mine. And it's the first time she went through somebody else's pockets beside daddy's that there was $100 bills in every suit. I don't know how much money she found in there. And that lady said, "You just keep it. It's worth it." And I don't remember the whole story and all that, but, and I don't even know if we got them. It might have been daddy turned it back and she took it. I don't know if we got anything out of that. But the abundant life that we have is not only being saved, but being so worn out by the thief that's taken and tried to take that we get it back. And it's a greater treasure, isn't it? It's abundant life, isn't it? Not just when somebody physically is healed or somebody gets something back. But we're going to die physically one of these days, aren't we? And immediately we're going to be with the Lord, aren't we? Forever and ever and ever. That's abundant, isn't it? Jesus came and he came to give. And he did. But what he gave is something the devil wants to steal away, and he can't. But he can rob, can he? Joy and peace, strength. And abundant life is not abundant anymore, is it? We're all going to get old. The older we get, the more chance we're going to get something, aren't we? There's that little fear. But the abundant life for those that are more worn out than others, I'll put it that way. You have someone inside of you that's greater than any back, any shoulder, or any mind, or any emotion, isn't he? Jesus came to give us his life, and he did, and that more abundantly. Sometimes we need to think on this morning we will, but we need to think just a little bit on that abundant life. It's so abundant that the devil wants to take it away. He can't take away our salvation, but he works really hard on our faith and our emotions, our physical body. He does it, doesn't he? And the worse that we feel and the bad off as we are, and even if the doctor is true about his diagnosis, God's diagnosis is better and greater and more abundant, isn't it? I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? I'm glad I know that there's a place for me. As soon as I leave this body, I'm present with the Lord. And I want to dwell on that abundance right now this morning. Before any more bad things happen, we got to understand that they're happening in a severe way, in a worse way, because of the abundance, the reward, the power, the strength that he's watching God give to us. Can you imagine what has happened compared to COVID to now? Can you believe the things in the world that's went on? How people seemingly are going together? They are, aren't they? Somebody said, "Oh, it won't last." Well, I don't care. It's good while it lasts. But I do know that the more abundant life that I understand I have and feel, I need to realize there's going to be a thief that's going to come. And it's worth it for him to try to take it, to steal it, to kill it, and to destroy any route for me to ever get back to enjoy it again. Because it's so abundant. And the greater that God is, the harder the devil has to work. And he does. The thief is the devil. He steals. Stealing's not good, is it? My daddy, if stealing was, it wasn't right. Back when I was growing up, there was more principles, I guess, and more correction in grade school for what now would be just something little. You didn't take people's stuff when I was growing up. If you took somebody's stuff and we found out, we were brothers all of a sudden. I used to go with folks I didn't even like to go get something back just because I like to get stuff back. That was the way I grew up. But this morning we see in the scriptures that there's a Jesus that gives and he wants you to receive. There's a thief that's coming that wants to give you something that you don't need and you don't want. Look at verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Not only gives me protection and direction, but he puts his life inside of me. But he that is a hireling, a hired hand, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The good shepherd, that's Jesus. He's just the opposite from the hireling. The hireling is a false prophet. The hireling is not the wolf, but he's the one that's hired to take the place of a shepherd. A hireling can be a preacher, a teacher, and most definitely a parent. Hold on this morning. Like old preacher used to say, fasten your pew belt. Because we need to talk about some things, don't we? There's a hireling. He's a hired hand. He's the one that works for the money. He has no investment in the sheep. When he sees and knows that trouble is coming, he leaves because he's afraid for his life, not the sheep's. He's like some preachers. I'm around preachers a whole lot. Some I like a whole lot better than others. I'll tell you that. But preachers have some normal thoughts, normal needs. They need to be took care of and on and on and on, all that stuff. But there's a lot of hired preachers that just are in it for the money. In it for what they can use the church for. There's some preachers that aren't right. There's some churches that sometimes will hire a preacher not knowing anything much about them because it really wasn't time. They had good references. Sandy's daddy was deacon for years and years, and he was always on the preacher committees. And he wasn't supposed to do it, but he'd come by the house with a stack of resumes, and me and him would read over the resumes. Oh, what a fun afternoon that is. Sandy's daddy, Dana English, he would look through the resumes. And one of the first questions he'd ask the prospective pastor was, as good as you are to that church and as much as you did for the Lord, how could they ever afford to let you go? What's going on? Or why are you leaving? Why are you somewhere every 2 years for the last 20 years? How long are you going to stay here? That's just, he was that way. And he picked out a lot of hirelings. But there was one or two times in his life that he had a broken heart. He prayed. He trusted himself. He was all for a preacher or two. And they disappointed him. There's a lot of folks that we see right off, but there's some we didn't see it coming. Preachers, they're not what they say they are. In fact, if they have to say it, it's probably not true. Teachers, we see in colleges that the major problem with college is professors. Those that have the power to lead and teach and indoctrinate is the word that they use. Not just in a school situation, but in any situation. There's people that are willing to teach as long as they get the money. And there's some, and they call them parents and grandparents, that are willing to teach for nothing, money-wise, but the reward is the greatest thing that you could ever imagine. To grow with a child and learn and help them and everything. I got trained yesterday by Hannah. She'll be 4-year-old pretty soon. And she trained me a whole lot yesterday. And I can't tell you what happened and what she said because it would embarrass me. Because I didn't know. And I just couldn't get over it. We got 4 granddaughters. Can you believe that? And I don't know. I saw a shirt. I guess it's true. It seems like it's true to me. Is you can't tell me what to do. You're not my granddaughter. There's a shirt like that. But what an awesome reward it is to raise godly kids and help with their grandkids. Because you're just not hired and you're not for sale. They try to pay us to keep them. And sometimes I guess we take it, but most of the time you don't understand. Oh, that kid's all I need. Those kids are all that we need. Payment enough, isn't it? But there's preachers, there's teachers. And I hate to say this, but there's parents that are hirelings. How is that? Because they don't care for their kids. They don't watch out for their kids. They see trouble coming. And they let their kids get in trouble. That was okay in the 60s when I was growing up. But now you don't dare let them kids alone on a phone or a computer. It's not book reading anymore. It's podcasts, isn't it? It's a shame, but it's true that there's a devil. And what an awesome gift that he's given to children. Children have an abundance of life, an abundance of energy. They're pure, they're holy, untouched by anybody but close folks around them. And what a great opportunity for the devil to take them young, take them pure, take them holy, huh? And he can't do that if the parents, first of all, bring them up, the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, I'm afraid of this preacher and I'm afraid of that. Oh, we're all afraid of all that. And it does happen to some. And we can't explain it. It even happens to good people, doesn't it? But for the sake of arguing this morning, we need to understand without a doubt that the devil has a reason to rob and steal and kill and to destroy. Look at verse 12 again. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, he doesn't own the sheep, he doesn't have any investment, he seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth them. The devil has to get all eyes away from the sheep. And he walks right in and catches the sheep. And then he scatters the sheep. He catches the sheep and leads them astray out in the wilderness, scattered away all by themselves. Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of children are trafficked every year, aren't they? It's sad, it's ugly, it's the wolf, isn't it? It's the devil. It's not the hireling. It's the devil, the wolf. But the hireling is there for a reason. And the reason he's there is for money and for fame. And he leaves, doesn't he? Look at verse 13. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. We get back into last week's and put them together. Jesus is the door of the sheep. I go through the door, which is Jesus. I get saved. I go with him out of the fold where the sheep are, out into the world, and he's my shepherd still leading me out in the world. He leads me in church, and he leads me outside of church. He leads me in spiritual ways, and in spiritual ways while I'm in the world. No one can hide in the church or in the fold, because Jesus leads us out into the world, doesn't he? Turn with me, if you can, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And look at verse 15. Matthew 7, 15. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." The devil's false prophets come to us in sheep's clothing, inside the fold, inside the church, inside my spiritual life. The false prophets come to us disguised in sheep's clothing. They want to look like a sheep, act like a sheep, but they're not. But they come to us. Nobody can ever escape false teaching and wolves, even inside of the church, even inside of our minds, even inside of our emotions. We're all made up like that, aren't we? For some reason we can't explain, and something we don't want to talk about is things can get in my mind, it can get in my heart, it can get in my church, it can get in my house, and it's subtle. Sheep's clothing. They look like us, they act like us, they want to love like us, but before it's over, inside where we're at, ravening wolves they turn out to be. Inside where we're at. Now turn to Matthew chapter 10. And look at verse 16. Jesus says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." It's hard to know inside the church, inside the world. It's hard to pick them out, but they'll come out. But Jesus says, "I send you out where the wolves are, where there's no doubt, where you can see them, where you can be ready for them. Because there are sheep out there in the world." And I'm not against homeschooling. I'm not against schooling. What I'm against, and what the Bible teaches to be against, parents need to be true spiritual shepherds. And not a hired hand. It's not about you. It's about the kids. And sometimes people have to work a lot of hours and almost miss their kids. I've had this conversation with my son. The work he does, the hours he keeps, the lack of physical body that he has left with the sicknesses that he has. But he's responsible, isn't he? But he's a shepherd. He's taught him, he's brought him up, and he's got a lot of help. We're going to help him. But it doesn't matter if you keep him at home. It doesn't matter what you do outside in the school. God, if they're his, he's going to send them out amongst the wolves. And they need to already be learning how to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It's harder to do that after they're a teenager. It's really good to do that when they're in kindergarten. they're around it. They can see it. They can learn slowly but sure. And I've seen kids not make it. And I've seen other kids that never got out, and they did really good. We got a grandson named Job. He's the oldest. And you've met him, some of y'all. You ever talk to him, you better get you a chair. Because he's there for a good talk. And you're going to have to listen for a while. Because he'll know what you're thinking and tell you what you're thinking before you say it. And he'll have an answer for you. There are a few kids that they're just there. But you see, the wolves come to us in sheep's clothing. No matter how much we try to keep it away, it will not ever, ever, ever be away 100%. Because they come in sheep's clothing. They come on TV stations. Better watch those. I like Bluey, but I don't like the stuff in between. I've watched Paw Patrol many times, and I almost know all the characters. But there's some awful, nasty commercials. See what I'm saying? It's sheep clothing, but they're wolves. In your own house. In your own church. But before we get too protective, we need to realize God sends us out on a mission to be amongst the wolves. Because we're his sheep. And the only way that the sheep are ever, 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 ever going to be used by God is if God calls them and God sends them. We're called to be in the church. We're called to be parents. But we're also called to go out. And it's not real pretty sometimes, is it? What we need to realize, and I know the sermons have went together for me. But a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a burden and a call. To me, this is the answer to everything. Clean-cut answer. There's people with burdens that are parents. There's people that have burdens as teachers. There's people that have burdens as pastors. But an actual call is a responsibility and discipline to not be selfish and say, Lord, you've called me to be a parent, a shepherd. And you've given me one kid, two kids, three kids. And I am called for this child. And I will take the responsibility to teach him and bring him up in every way that I know how. Watching over him, realizing that there's a real good chance that the devil can get something or somebody even inside my house. No matter where I try to keep him from or whatever, there's a devil, isn't it? And one day that child that grows up right and honest and decent, God may use him out there because he knows what a wolf is. And God will take care of him. But the discipline, the calling, the lack of being selfish is what is missing. You have a burden all you want, but if you don't care, you're a hireling. And you won't be around for that little child when the devil comes. Be around. The Bible is going to tell us, and it continues to tell us, that we need to go out and find the scattered sheep. There's been sheep that have been taken, led away, and scattered without no way to get back to the Lord. And the way to overcome the devil is for us to go out and get the scattered sheep and bring them back. Our ministry is to break the hold that the devil has on them. It's difficult, it's hard, but it's not impossible, is it? Whatever hold that he has on them, whatever lure he used as a shepherd and a God-called shepherd, we need to be used to go get them and break the hold that the devil has on them. We need to use God's power to take away the devil's authority to catch and scatter sheep. Television, government, laws, rules. Well, we don't want to get political. Well, it's too late. I don't know why people say that anymore. Where are you at? We're not running for office. We're not lying and cheating and stealing. We're not raising money. We're not running rumors. That's politics. But we need laws. And we need them enforced. And we need deputies. And we need sheriffs. And we need judges. A judge had a guy come before her the other day. Did you hear about that? How many times through the years he was caught doing something very bad, spent time in jail. And the judge had him sign his name to promise that he would be nice. And it wasn't long that he went and stabbed that girl in the subway. That's real good, isn't it? We need judges, don't we? We need jails. We need God's power to take away the power that the devil has to catch the sheep and scatter them. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When I go out amongst the wolves, and I submit myself to God, whoever and whatever the devil has a hold of, going to let go of it. Because I'm going to resist him. And the Bible says he will flee. If you haven't ever done it, you don't understand. But when you resist the devil, he's gone. We need to submit to people that are called and leaders, don't we? God's put them in a place for a reason. He's given them a message. And when he's proven to be right, or she's proven to be right, there needs to be a submission. The last thing is, we need to get back what's been taken. We need to get back what the devil stole that God gave to us. We need to stop the devil dead in his tracks and destroy any way of him being able to do it again. We learn hard lessons, don't we? We have a lot of lessons that we learn. One of the very first lessons we learned after we got married was a real estate agent. You ever heard what earnest money was or is? She was more earnest about our money than we was. Because we backed out and we never saw it again. And it was on the contract and I signed it. No one told me. I guess I was 20 years old, 19. Learned a hard lesson. That was a lot of money in 1971. back then. But what I want to finish with this morning is we know all this, don't we? And what God is calling us to do is to come to him every single day and build and grow and be strong, wise as a serpent. There's not going to be one bomb dropping service that a youth group gets that's going to change their life around. There's not one church that's going to have one meeting that's going to ever do a whole lot of anything if it's not followed up on. That's the shame. The good preaching, the good evangelists, the good preachers can go in churches. And that's all there is. It's got to keep going, doesn't it? We got to be committed to the Lord, to come to church, to grow, to obey him, to be close to him, so the folks that we're shepherding will be close to him. I think it's true and right to say that it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see how God works, isn't it? And his timing is awesome, isn't it? And he decides in our history here, last recent history, with a bullet from a crowd, from a shooter. How it can be this close to save a president's life and not for somebody else. God's choice, isn't it? Sometimes God can do a whole lot more the way he does it than what we ever think. Faithful, obedient. To people that are saved this morning, we need to grow strong, don't we? We need to realize there's something that we have that the devil can steal away. And he's working hard every day, isn't he? He's subtle. He's right there with us, son. But we need to learn about the devil. We need to learn about the wolf. Because we're sent out amongst them to get our people back. Things he's robbed and things he's stealed, he has no business with. And they're not going to come back unless somebody goes and gets them. And that's what the church is for. If you're here today and you're lost, and you know you are, and you keep coming and you keep coming, it's on your side. It's up to you. You have to yield. You have to submit. And you need to come today if you're lost, if you need to be saved, and you know it. Those that are saved, you need to realize that there's a life in you, but it's not good enough to leave it like that. Because Jesus said, the life I give you needs to be more abundant. It needs to be stronger and fortified and more built up and stronger than it's ever been, because it might not get you. But what about somebody around you that you love? That's the truth this morning, isn't it? The altar's open. If you need to come pray, pray. If you need me to help you pray or pray for you, I'll be here. Let's stand this morning. Please bow your heads and close your eyes.